Good morning. If you would like to support the ministry here, if you'd like to help in any way, you can send your gifts, your contributions, your tithes, your offerings, whatever you like to send. We would welcome to receive it here. And you can send it to us at Post Office Box 67, Chicora, Pennsylvania. That's C-H-I-C-O-R-A, Pennsylvania, 16025. That's Chicora, Pennsylvania, 16025. You can also make your offerings, your tithes, your gifts. You can give through the website at www.sjrchurch.org or through the sermonaudio.com website by searching yours truly's name, John Pistorius. Thank you. And may God richly bless you. All right. I don't usually race, but I have been asked to say a prayer at a corn roast out in Ford City, and then we have our concert of prayer tonight. And speaking of announcements, we also have our Wednesday evening prayer meetings at 6 o'clock. The Saturday, September 7th, is the Community Family Fun Day with a Purpose at Chicora Park. And we plan to have a booth if you want to help with that. We'd like to have your help. We also are going to be serving at the food cupboard on September 20th, if anybody wants to help with that. We have plenty to do. And then, of course, the Labor Day weekend, August 30th and 31st, we're having the parking lot rummage sale or flea market, if you will. So, I got the announcements. There we go. All right. You know, we've all heard what's become known as the Great Commission, right? Has anybody here not heard what's called the Great Commission? And, okay. Well, the Great Commission summed up is go into all the world and preach the good news. That's essentially the Great Commission. The commission that Christ left with his disciples. Go into the world. And we know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's part of that good news that we are to share. The one that we call Jesus directly commanded his followers to go. He said, go into all the world. And so we might say, well, where? What does that mean? Does that mean we have to go to another country? Does that mean that we have to go to the other side of the earth? No. All the world includes your own backyard, includes your little town, and includes wherever it is that you work or you reside. It's wherever we are. And that instruction to go includes all of us. Each of us are told to go. And we do that in a variety of ways. Sometimes we support missionaries that can go to the other side of the earth where we can't. And other times we just talk with people at the grocery store or at the wherever it is that we shop, you know, so many big places now. Sometimes it just means talking to your next door neighbor. Sometimes it just means saying, hey, you know what, I found a great little church family over here on West Slippery Rock Street. It's Christ's family, and you can belong there. Sometimes it's just a matter of sharing a piece of the story of Christ's birth, his life, his teachings, his death, his burial, his resurrection. That's all become known as the gospel, the good news. He says, go into all the world and preach this, teach it, tell others, proclaim it. But go and what? What does it really mean? What does it really mean to go and teach or preach? And we're going to get into that a little bit further as we go forward. But right now, I want you to open your Bible to the 16th chapter of Mark's gospel record, Mark chapter 16, you'll find that on the top of page 1577. 1577 in your Bible there in the seats. 1577. Mark chapter 16. And we're going to begin at verse 9. Okay? Right there at the top, the left column. Mark chapter 16. Excuse me, where am I at? Oh, here I am. Yeah, I got it right where I am. Okay. Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 9. Hear what's written there. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. The first proclamation of the good news. The first one who went before he said to go was Mary Magdalene. Okay? But when they heard he was alive and had been seen by her, they jumped for joy and praised the Lord. No, they did not believe. They did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Go, he said. Preach the word, he said. Make disciples, he said. Go. He didn't say, go to the church building and sit there for an hour. He didn't say, go down the street and sit in the tavern. No, he said, go and tell everybody the good news. The Messiah had risen from the grave, and he appeared to some of his disciples, and those disciples told others, hey, he's alive, he's not dead. He looked at him side-eyed. Yeah, right. Nobody comes back from that. They saw what happened to him. They saw how he was brutalized. They saw how he was scourged. They saw his bloody, beaten body nailed to a cross. They saw him die. He was dead. He was put in a tomb. That tomb was sealed. And yet here these people were saying, he's alive. And the disciples said, no way. It's not even possible. Now, how many of us would have believed if we were there? Probably none of us. Okay? Probably none of us. Because had we seen what they saw, we'd have felt the same way they did. We wouldn't have trusted that that was true, that it was even possible. He could have gave them a message on faith, but instead, he scolded them. But then, think for a moment. When he said, go out and tell people, go out and share this good news, he was giving them a lesson on faith. Because it takes faith, and even for us, because none of us saw him walking the planet. None of us have seen him come out of that grave. None of us saw him go into the grave. None of us saw how brutally he was beaten. None of us saw any of that. But didn't he say, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe? He said, more blessed. when Thomas said, "Oh yeah, I'm not going to believe unless I see the nail holes in his hands." And when he showed up, he said, "Hey, Tom, come here. Put your finger in here." "Oh," he said, "I believe." And Jesus said, "Blessed, more blessed are those who believe who haven't seen." So he gives them this message on faith, because telling them to go and tell other people is a message on faith, because it takes faith to do that. And I want you to let the Holy Spirit open your ears to hear this, because this is his message. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I got to thinking about that. That's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not, well, if you feel like it. It's not like, if you're not shy. It's not like, well, if they're friendly. No. He said, go, preach the gospel to every creature. Do you remember the main idea of this series of messages? Yeah, I called it saying no to Jesus. How many people say, no, I'm not going to tell anybody. No, I can't do that. No, you're not talking to me. You're talking to somebody else. No, it's the preacher's job. He said to his disciples, go into all the world. And so I say yes to Jesus. And I know it requires faith. I know it does. God had me on the streets of Pittsburgh preaching as a teenager. And I walked by faith, not by sight. Until I walked away from him and messed my life up for a while. But you know, somebody once said, don't think that you're so powerful that you can mess up God's plan for your life. You aren't stronger than God. Even when you messed up, God will take that and he'll redeem it. And he will use it to his glory. My aunt told me that one time. Don't. She said, I was regretting all the mess that I made in my life. She said, don't do that. She said, you're going to be a better preacher for it, because you know what people go through, because you've gone through it. You learned it firsthand. You're not just reading it in a book. You've experienced it. And so when somebody comes to you with one of those hurts that you've experienced, you can help them better. I said, praise the Lord. Started weeping right there in front of her. I thought, who am I to think that I could mess up God's plan for my life? Okay, yeah, we mess up. And some of us have messed up worse than others. See me raising my hand? Okay? Yeah. But you know what? God redeems all that the locusts eat. He brings it back. He brings it all back in abundance whenever we are faithful to Him, when we honor Him, when we glorify Him, when we worship Him. Notice that it's Him that we're doing all those things for, not us. Too many today are telling others, well, you got to do it for you. You got to do what's best for you. You got to follow your heart to your destination. No, I'm sorry, but that's not exactly the biblical message. The biblical message is that we do it all for Him, and guess what? He blesses us. We don't do it for the blessing. We do it for Him. We do it for Him whether He blesses us or not, because we love Him. Go into all the world, He said. Say yes to that. You know, He said, it's written in John chapter 14, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Doesn't say might, doesn't say maybe, doesn't say could, doesn't say should. He said, you will. You will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and he and I, we will come to them and make our home with them. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. The teaching that he brought to this planet came from the Father. He was authorized to deliver this message in the way of living. And we simply need to say yes to him. Say yes. Okay, so he said go. Go where? Well, I've already told you. Everywhere. Anywhere. Everywhere. Even your area. Even your sphere of influence. And then what? Preach. What's it mean to preach, Pastor? You're the preacher. I'm not a preacher. Proclaim. Tell. Share. Just give it to others. That's what it means. And then, he says, the gospel. That's the what. That's the answer to the what in the title of the sermon. go and what? People say, what? You want me to do what? You want me to preach? God wants you to tell everybody the good news. He made the way out of that mess that we make of our lives. Go into the world. Go into the world. The gospel. What's the gospel? The Greek lexicon says that the gospel is the glad tidings of the kingdom of God soon to be set up. And then also of Jesus, the Messiah, the founder of this kingdom. He said, upon this rock, him, he would build his church. We are the church. I'm the church. You're the church. All together, we're the church. This building isn't a church, and I will say that till the day I die. This building and no other like it is a church. They're meeting houses where the church meets. We gather together. The church is the people. It's not the building. There's a whole lot of empty buildings that used to house churches all across the world. Even in this area, we've got buildings that are empty, some that are going empty, some that are soon to close because the church is no longer meeting there. When I was in the city of Pittsburgh, I watched the church buildings close one after another. One after another, because the church was no longer meeting there. Because the church didn't heed what Jesus said to do. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. No, because what we did was we started to rely on that guy up front, see? Didn't matter if he had a fancy collar on or not. Didn't matter if he wore a suit every week or not. Didn't matter how he dressed, because he was the one. Not me. No, I come here to get it in, you know. No. That's not my job. That's his job. No. You know, there's people that will say, the shepherd doesn't beget sheep. The sheep beget sheep. And if we want more sheep, we need to have the sheep bringing in more sheep. And that's God's work. Go everywhere. After his death, the gospel includes the preaching of his death on the cross to buy eternal salvation for the people that are in God's kingdom. It includes proclaiming his resurrection, that he was exalted to the right hand of the Father. That's what the Bible shows us. The Bible makes it clear. He is the Messiah. It's not only that, though. It's also that he'll return in majesty to complete the kingdom of God. He is coming back. He is coming back, and this whole world is going to change dramatically when he returns. All this mess that we see is going to be gone. It's going to be over. We're to proclaim those glad tidings of salvation through God's Messiah. We are to proclaim the good news of the grace of God clearly manifested in that one that we call Jesus. He plainly proved his role as Messiah through his words, through his teachings, and through the deeds that he did, the good works that he did, the healings that he performed, casting demons out of people who were suffering. He proved that he was the Messiah. That's no joke. Now, all of us looking back, all we have is what we find written in what we call the Bible, okay? And any one of us can have one. If you need one, take the one that's in the seat there. We'll get another one. I'm serious, too. I want you to have God's Word in your possession. Keep it in your car. Take it with you everywhere you go, because the opportunity will arise when you can open the Word of God and say, this is what's written. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And what does it mean to believe? We'll get there. We'll get there. And who are these creatures he's talking about? He said, preach the gospel to every creature. What's that mean? Going what? Preach to creatures. Is he talking about talking to the dog? Are you talking about talking to the cat or going to the zoo or going out in the forest? No. No, that word creature, the root word there, okay, was used by the teachers of that time, the rabbis. They would use that word, the root word for creature. It was used to describe those who had come out of idolatry into Judaism. He's talking about the people that are being converted. He's talking about people. He's not talking about animals. If I had some people that made fun of that, right? You said, go out and talk to all the creatures, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go talk to my dog. No. It's talking about people. He wants people to come to know the truth, and that's our job. He tells us so. Jesus said, go. Preach, proclaim, tell, share. Look, this is what God did for me. You know, I've heard people give their testimony. God took this away from me. I am healed by His hand, and I will proclaim that healing till the... There was a man healed of cancer, and he wrote it all down on a piece of paper, and he used to take that out and share it with everybody that he met. This is what God did for me. And I told him, if He heals me, I will proclaim it till the day I die. And the man's probably still passing them papers out, telling people what God did for him. And all of us can tell God, whatever God does for us. And if we're not seeing God move in our lives, maybe we need to check our lives. Maybe somehow like last week I had a little sawhorse here. Put one leg on one side, one leg on the other. I said, maybe we got one foot in the world and one foot in His kingdom. We need to get that foot out of the world. We need to be walking fully in His kingdom, both feet on His path. All those people that come to believe need to hear the message, to hear it, to accept it, to learn it, to believe. In Mark 16:16, we read, he that believes, those, not just he, it means everybody, okay, it's not just men. Those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin. Saved from death. Oh, not physical death. Because he goes on, he says, but those that do not believe shall be damned. Jesus said that? You don't believe, you're damned? Oh, wait a minute. That's not the Jesus we proclaim. Now, the Jesus we proclaim is all about love. He loves everybody just the way they are. Don't you know that, Pastor John? Come on. He said it. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's what he said. So what's it mean to believe? I already asked that question, didn't I? We'll look at baptism next week, by the way. We've got some folks that want to be baptized. Anybody else that wants to be, why, if you're here with us and you want to be baptized, we're going to be talking about it. We're going to tell you what that's all about. And here we are, belief. Belief is the conviction and the trust that drives us from within to accept what it is that God tells us. It's to believe us. It's that higher right and law of the soul. It goes beyond our comprehension intellectually. It's deeper than that. Belief means trust in Almighty God. It means to accept that He's able to help you obtain what only He can offer. It amounts to saving faith. And that's revealed in what? Your obedience to Him. Your obedience to Christ, the one He authorized to teach us the way of salvation. He gave Him all authority, all power in heaven and in earth. Christ Himself said so, okay? Believing is not just agreeing with something. Oh, yeah, I believe. I believe this is a brick wall. Do you believe this is a brick wall? Oh, yeah, we all believe that's a brick wall. We can all agree that that's a brick wall, right? But it could be a picture of a brick wall. We might believe that it's a brick wall. We've mentally agreed with it. We have some kind of an agreement in our mind that says this is a brick wall. But when we have faith, we believe it's a brick wall whether we see it or not, whether we can feel it or not, whether we can run our hands or pound on it or not. We have faith by His work, not our own. Saving faith. It's not just agreeing. It's action. We act upon what we believe. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that He came to earth. We believe that He was born of a virgin. We believe that He lived His life. We believe that He taught people. We believe that He healed people. We believe that He died, that He was buried, and that He rose again. We've never seen it. But we believe it. And we act upon it by living our lives according to what He taught, by saying yes to Him instead of saying no. You know, Almighty God's the only one that has the right of governing His creation. It's His creation. He created it. He set up the rules, okay? Look, if you buy a new Toyota, I'm not going to pick on Toyota, but you buy a new car, and the manufacturer gives you this book that says this is how you operate that machine, okay? Now, you could ignore that, right? Chuck it out the window. I don't need that. I know how to do this. I got this covered. I'm going to do it my way. Well, you take the chances. You might get by with it. Change oil, what for? Why would I want to put a new belt on it? Why would I want... The manufacturer said that's the best way. Now, the manufacturer of these creatures that we call human beings, he said, here's the best way. He set up the parameters, all right? He gave us a book. He said, here's the manual, all right? Here's the way to do it. Some people don't ever even pick it up. They don't want to know what's in there because they might have to change something about the way that they've decided to run their lives. And they run themselves out of gas continually. And then when the fuel pump goes bad, they want to know why. Why, God? Why'd you let me down? Now the fuel pump's broke. I can't go anymore. Don't follow the rules. Something's going to break. It's going to fall apart. God says He don't want that to happen, so follow the rules. He has the right of governing His creation. He has the absolute right to dictate His way of living. He has the way. He sets the rules for human conduct and behavior. And He's the only one that can. We can't rewrite His rules, although we're trying to. The whole world is trying to change His rules. No. He didn't really mean you're male and female. No. You decide. It's up to you. You do it your way. You can hear Frank Sinatra singing, right? He says what he approves of, and he sets what he disapproves of. Because he's the one that has the right to decide. He's the one that manufactured us. So he set the rules. He set up the parameters for living for his created beings. We don't get to change the parameters. I don't like how restrictive God is. I got to do it my way. Wait a minute, let me... break these barriers a little bit. I need more room, God. I can't do it your way. I got to do it my way. God says, you do it your way, and the wages of doing it your way is death. But the gift of God is everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is what His Word says. He's decided what's acceptable and unacceptable to Him. We don't get to change that. He calls the acceptable way of living righteousness or holiness. That's what He calls it. And He's called the unacceptable way sin, wickedness, iniquity. That's what He calls it. Those are His words, not mine. And He says, if you're living your life in sin and wickedness and iniquity, He said, turn from that. Change your mind. That's not the way to live. I want you to live my way. And my way is following my rules, He says. He called that unacceptable way the way that leads to death. Now, the question becomes, do you believe that He has this right to set the rules? Is God the one that has the ability? Is He the one that has the authority? Is He the one that has the right to tell you how to live your life? Not everybody agrees with you, though. They think they can just govern themselves. Just like that new car. They can run it any way they like. Expect it to last forever. It doesn't work that way. And you see, that's the difference between true believing and mental assent. You give your mind to something, say, oh yeah, I believe that. I believe it. Oh, I believe. But you're not living it. You're not living it. And there's a passage of Scripture I quote from time to time. Says, they'll listen to you, but they don't do it. They don't do what they hear. They'll tell other people, hey, come listen to this guy. He knows. He gives you the Word of God. But then they don't live it. That's what the Word says. True believing makes Him our master instead of the world. True believing makes Him our master instead of our flesh. true believing makes him our master instead of sin. True believing. Does that mean that we don't stumble from time to time? I'll tell you, folks, I believe that all people who live under the grace of God will stumble from time to time. I'd say something you don't want to say. The old flesh rises up. Especially when somebody cuts you off on the highway. Hey, you! But true believing makes him our master instead of anything else. There's people that live covetous lives and it's all about money. Money, 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 money. I saw a preacher one time. He's dancing on the out. They had people come up throwing money on the steps. You know, and they're all, he's running over all the money. You know, he's, money, 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 money. Money, 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 you say. I'm like, this man's crazy. That's not what God's kingdom's about. God's kingdom is about preaching his word. Go into all the world and yell, money, 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 money. No. That ain't what he said. He said, preach the word. Nobody can have two masters. And it's written in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, no one can have two masters. You can't serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and anything else. You can't have two masters, because then you're like that sawhorse. You're divided. One side's in the kingdom, one side's in the world. One side's in the kingdom, the other side's in the money, 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 money. I got to have a jet. Y'all going to help me get a jet? Wait a minute. I need a mansion. I need 46 rooms. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. And if we're following him, are we supposed to have multi-million dollar mansions? I suspect that's probably not exactly what he wants for us. But you know, he does bless his people. He will bless you. He'll bless you so you can be a blessing. Now, according to what's written in the first chapter of Romans, he's made himself known to all. So they're without excuse. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. So when you're preaching the good news, you're telling them something that's already deep inside of them. And the Holy Spirit can wake that up. Now, they can either accept or they can reject, and that's their choice, and they can do that. For God's shown it to them, it says. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. Remember, Jesus said, those that believeth not shall be damned. You mean even if they didn't, nobody went and told them about? He said they already know. And when the preacher goes out and preaches the good news, he's telling them something that they have already got deep in their heart. You know, I had a preacher one time. I heard him. He said that he felt the call to go to another country. And he thought if he could just get over there, he could help save those poor people from their sins. And he got over there. He said that he found out they were worse workers of iniquity than he ever saw in his life, and they wanted to be. They already knew God, and they didn't care to know him. They wanted to live in their sins. And he says, a mighty fine thing you did to me, Lord, leading me over here. And he said, the Lord told him just as plain as day, I didn't send you there for them. I sent you there for me. Bought and paid for those souls, and he wants us to collect them for him. And the only way that we can do that is to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ, the one that we call Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, came, and that we can share that good news. To go. And what? Tell them. Whether we like it or not, he said, they don't believe, they're damned. If we believe he's the Messiah, our believing is observed in obedience. This is what we've seen in his word throughout the series of this series of messages. He who has my commandments and keeps them, this is what he said, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. John chapter 14, verse 21. The words of our Lord. You believe? Obey. He makes it clear. And John, in his first epistle, chapter 2, he says, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You know, part of the problem, I think, in the overall church today is we're too bent on preaching doctrines of men instead of the doctrines of Christ. Instead of going into the Word of God and saying, this is what he says. We're saying, this is what I think he meant by what he says. We're saying, this is what so-and-so said he meant by what he said. But if we believe he's the Messiah, our believing is observed in how we obey him. Not some guy that came after him. Not even the ones that were the closest to him. We've got to follow what he said, what he taught. And I can tell you, it's not too late for anybody that hears this message. It's not too late because God did love the world. He did send his Son. And if you believe, truly believe, you obey, you follow, you do what it is that he taught, you will be saved. So I say yes. Accept his offer. It's his solution. He's got the solution for sin. He's got the solution for evil. He's got the solution for wickedness. He's got the solution for iniquity. Say yes to his way. Do you know your Creator wants you to walk in the light? He doesn't want you walking in darkness. Well, what's darkness, Pastor? You mean like at nighttime? No. Isaiah foretold that the Messiah would bring light to illuminate souls. And here's where it's written. Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. And then, in 1 John chapter 1, we hear, this is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's people that think they can walk in darkness and have forgiveness. That's not what God's Word says. You can't live in the dark and expect to come out in the light. That's not the way it works. Sin equals darkness. Hear what's written in Proverbs chapter 4. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They don't know what makes them stumble. You know, I hear people, lots of times, well, I don't know why this is happening. Why are things going wrong for me? I said, well, check your life. Because God's Word says, if you don't know why you're stumbling, you got to check to see if you're actually in the light. Because maybe you're walking in darkness somehow. Maybe somewhere in some recess of your heart, you've got some darkness that God wants to root out. You need to just say, God, take it from me. All of us could pray that. God, take the darkness out of my heart. I don't want darkness in my heart. I want to walk in the light, the whole light, nothing but the light. Jesus cried out. He said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What? He who follows me shall not walk in darkness? Well, how are people that are claiming to walk with him, how are people that are living their lives involved in a church walking in darkness? How are they living in darkness and claiming to be followers of the Messiah? He said that's not possible. They don't know what makes them stumble. It's the darkness. He also said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. He came as the light. He said, follow me into the light, out of the darkness. It's not the same thing. You can't walk in darkness and expect that somehow you're in the light. And when you stumble, when you fall, when things go wrong, you say, oh God, what happened? Yeah. Got to get out of the darkness. And he makes it possible. He shines the light. If anyone hears my words, he said, and does not believe, I do not judge him. What? Jesus doesn't judge. No, he says he doesn't. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Now, if we just stop there, we say, well, see that? Now, Jesus doesn't judge me. How about that? I can do whatever I want because Jesus does not judge. He came to save me. Well, he did. Now, wait. He continued. Let's hear the rest of what he had to say. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. God wants everybody to have everlasting life, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There are some who say, no, wait, Pastor, no. You see, God only chose some people to have everlasting life, and the other ones he created for damnation. No, that's not what his word says now. Can't discount that. He says, therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. And there is the authority that he brought. He was given the authority. He delivered the message, and he tells you to go and deliver that same message. Not some convoluted, twisted message that some guy from 100 years ago or 200 or 500 or 1,000 years ago or 1,500 years ago or some twist of some message that some guy 1,500 years ago or 2,000 years ago delivered. There's people that take the teachings of Paul and they twist them all around into a big knot and they say, here you go, here's your salvation. That's not what Jesus said. I'm sorry, I got to go with what Jesus said. You keep that if you like, but I'm going to go with what Jesus said. Nobody has a license to sin. We're called out of darkness. And there are those today who would proclaim that no matter what you do, you can kill yourself and you go to heaven. That's not what my Lord teaches. That's not what my Lord proclaims. You don't want to walk in darkness. You're going to walk in the light. Whoever follows me doesn't walk in darkness. Remember, it's written in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless, what do you mean unless? Paul, what are you writing this for? He said, unless indeed you are disqualified. Jesus is in me unless I'm disqualified? What would disqualify me? Darkness. It's that simple. Go and preach the light. That's what he says. Nobody has a license to sin. Paul says that multiple times. I'm not going to get into those passages. So I have to ask everybody, are you ready to turn from darkness to light? If you love him, he said you'll obey him. You'll obey his commandments. That's what he said. So say yes to him. Say yes. It is best to say yes because your Creator has said, this is the way. Follow him. He laid out the path. It's a narrow one. It's not that big, broad path. He said, go. Proclaim that good news. Tell others. Turn people from darkness to light. And he makes it clear that believing means obeying him. If we're saying no to Jesus, we're not really believing. Yeah, I could say, no, this isn't a brick wall. I ain't going to change it. It's still a brick wall. I could say, no, that's not what Jesus really meant. I ain't going to change it. It is really what he meant. Because he said what he meant. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to what he said to do. Remember, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Zealous, that means you are on fire for doing what he wants. Ask him for boldness to share the good news. ask him to give you the ability to tell others. He will. I've asked him. I ask him every time I stand in the pulpit. I do not want to misspeak. I don't want to say anything that's outside of the parameters of his word. We can look at the way that the Spirit of Almighty God emboldened those who proclaimed his good news after the Messiah ascended. Here was written in Acts chapter 3. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Peter? This is the guy that denied even knowing him when he was dying. "I don't know him. Get away from me." Cussed people out. It's the same guy. He's saying, "Repent, believe, be baptized." But after God gave him boldness and filled him with his Spirit, it's written in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, "They that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Wow. Because Peter was obedient, he went. Even though the religious leaders at that time said, "You need to stop preaching in this name. You do that and we're going to punish you." Peter said, "You better check yourself. Should we obey you or should we obey God?" And Peter and the others went out and they continued to preach in the name of Jesus. Yeshua, actually. That was his real name. The one we called Jesus. And then they were brought before the council again and they whooped him, beat him, scourged him. "We told you not to talk in this name. We told you not to preach in this name." They went against the governing authorities at that time. And they heeded what he said. What did he say to do? Go. Go! Go! Tell others the good news. Go. Peter went. This is the guy that cussed people out, said he didn't know him. But now here he is proclaiming him. And then, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That's what's written. Daily, 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 daily. That means every day. God was adding people to the kingdom. God was building that base of the church that we have inherited. Do you want to grow His kingdom as it exists on this earth? Go. The one that we call Jesus wants you to obey him. I want you to hear what he said, and I want you to say yes. Choose this day whom you will serve. As I wrap this up, I'm going to leave you with this. He said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Those who follow him, he said what? They don't walk in darkness, they walk in light. So say yes to God's Messiah. No holds barred. No resistance. You're not going to fight him anymore. You're not going to say, "No, Jesus, I'm doing it my way. No, Jesus, I'm not going to tell anybody. No, Jesus, I don't like your commands. I like my own. No, Jesus, I am not going to live your way. I'm going to live my way." And who did he say that they hear? It says, "My sheep hear the voice of all the religious leaders that came before them." No, that's not what he said. He didn't say they hear the voice of Matthew, Mark, Luke, Peter, James, John, and Paul. He didn't say they hear the voice of the Reformed or Anabaptist leaders. He didn't say they hear the voice of the Roman Catholics or the Methodists or the Eastern Orthodox or the Oriental Orthodox or the Nestorians or the Anglicans or the Lutheran leaders. No, he said they hear my voice. Pick up your Bible, boys and girls. Get one with the red letters, okay? You get the red letters, and guess what? You can read everything that he said that's recorded. Learn his voice. Hear his voice. Heed his voice. Obey his voice. Because ultimately, when you stand before Almighty God, you can't say, "Well, you know, the religious leaders said." No, that's not going to fly. You're going to be standing there before Almighty God all by yourself. And those religious leaders that brought whatever it is that they've brought over all the years that they've brought it, and all the twists and the turns in what Jesus said, are going to be gone. And you're going to be standing there before Almighty God the way you came into this earth, and He's going to call you to account. That's what His Word says. He's going to judge you. He ain't going to judge them for you. He said they hear His voice and follow Him. So I say, hear what He has to say, and then go. Go and tell others the same thing. He just wants you to follow Him out of the darkness into the light. Tell others about the power of God to transform lives. Because that's what He wants. Say yes to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that You have given me boldness, that You filled me with Your Spirit. And I ask that You would pour out Your Spirit upon each one that's within the sound of my voice, Lord, that each one would be emblazed with Your Spirit, that the sparks of Holy Spirit fire would fly off the pages of these notes, Lord, and into the hearts of every man, woman, and child that hears these words. And that each of us, Lord, would become blazing fires, that we would go forth and ignite others, Lord. That we would ignite others with Your Word, Your message, that hope that You give us of everlasting life through Christ our Lord. And I pray this in His mighty and majestic name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's open our hymnals now to number 42. And I thought Rose did not hear the message before she chose the hymns, by the way, in case you see any correlation there. All hail the power. All hail the power. And if you can stand, let's stand as we sing together number 42. All hail the power.